Morning, dear brethren and sisters. This morning I'd like to talk about a feeling that we've all most likely felt. No, we've all felt it throughout our lives and for a variety of different reasons. We might have had these feelings relating to our walk to the kingdom and life as a brother or a sister of Christ. Perhaps we've come here this morning struggling with this very thought or feeling. And the thought or feeling I would like to spend some time this morning to look at is having a feeling of inadequacy, or simply not feeling like we're good enough. We might look back over the past week and see our failures more clearly than our victories. We may have struggled with our temper, our thoughts, our priorities, our faith. Perhaps we've neglected the prayer, our prayer, or the readings. Perhaps we've been wrestling with anxiety, with discouragement or temptation. And as we made our way here today, we might have had a quiet voice whispering, "Who am I to sit here? I keep failing. Surely God is disappointed with me." If you've struggled with these feelings, then the good news is that the whole purpose of the gospel is that none of us are good enough. Not on our own. If God requires us to be worthy before approaching him, none of us would be here this morning. And that includes Abraham. It includes David. It includes Peter, Paul. It certainly includes us. This isn't a gathering of people who have had a perfect week. It is, however, a gathering of people who know that they need a perfect saviour. There's a pattern throughout the Bible, and once we see it, it becomes pretty hard to ignore. God delights in calling ordinary, weak, seemingly inadequate people. Just think about Moses. When God called him, Moses didn't confidently volunteer. He argued, he doubted. He listed all the reasons why he wasn't suitable. "I'm not eloquent. They won't believe me. Send someone else." Moses didn't feel good enough. But God wasn't asking Moses to rely on Moses. He was asking Moses to trust God. Moses argued with God, revealing his insecurity. "Who am I that I should go?" he asked. And God responded, "I will be with you and promise to bring you to worship on this mountain." What if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? God demonstrated that he would use miracles and signs to show proof. "I've never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue." God responded, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you and teach you what to say." Moses ended with, "Please send someone else." He still felt that he was inadequate to the task. God showed Moses grace by sending his brother Aaron with him to speak for him. Moses obeyed God in the end, and God did great and wondrous things through him and delivered his people from slavery. Moses, who felt wholly inadequate, eventually led his people to freedom, performing miracles along the way. And this little Bible account demonstrates how God's calling in our lives doesn't depend on our abilities, but it does depend on our obedience. God equips those who obey him. And the same was true for Gideon. When the angel appeared, Gideon's response was almost disbelief. "My family is poor. I am the least in my father's house." When the angel appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." Gideon responded, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? The Lord has abandoned us." The angel persisted, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Gideon replied, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon also felt inadequate for the task. Twice he asked God to give him a sign, proving his power, and he graciously answered. Gideon then obeyed, and he delivered his people. So while he was initially fearful, Gideon became a mighty warrior who rescued God's people. And this account reminds us that God understands our doubts and our fears. He uses our weakness to lead us to depend on him. And then through our weakness, we can experience some of his strength. Again, not feeling good enough, Jeremiah said, "I am but a child. Alas, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am too young." Jeremiah felt inadequate to be a prophet. He believed in God, but he doubted that God could use him. The Lord encouraged him, saying, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you." God then touched Jeremiah's mouth and told him he would give him whatever words he needed. And for 40 years, Jeremiah served God and warned his people of an upcoming Babylonian attack and captivity. Jeremiah, who doubted his own abilities, who felt inadequate, served as one of God's greatest prophets. His story can teach us that while we may fear failure, when we move forward in faith, God works through us to fulfill his purpose. Brethren and sisters, the answer to our inadequacy has never been to have greater confidence in ourselves. The answer has always been to have greater confidence in God. We're commanded to examine ourselves. But if all we ever do is examine ourselves, we can become quickly discouraged. Why? Because every honest examination discovers weakness. Paul struggled with this himself. In Romans chapter 7, he describes the struggle. "The good that I would, I do not." How encouraging for us to have those words recorded. Not because it can be a justification of our failures, but because even these mighty men of faith, they struggled too. No matter how old we are, or how experienced we are, or how much knowledge we have, the struggle continues. The difference is where we choose to look. If we only look within ourselves, we are always going to find reasons for disappointment. But if we look to Christ, we can find hope. And this is exactly what the memorial meeting asks us to do. The bread does not remind us of our righteousness. It reminds us of his. The wine does not celebrate our faithfulness. It celebrates his obedience. Every emblem points away from ourselves and toward Jesus. We might have even had thoughts about whether we should partake of the emblems if we don't feel worthy. But perhaps we've misunderstood what Scripture means by worthiness. Paul tells us to partake worthily. He doesn't tell us to partake because we are worthy. It's two very different things. To partake worthily means to appreciate the significance of what we are remembering. It means approaching the emblems with reverence, with humility, repentance, and faith. If only worthy people could break bread, the table would always be empty. Every disciple who has ever broken bread has done so as a forgiven sinner. Not one of us deserves to be here. And that is exactly why we need to remember Jesus. David understood failure better than most. His sins were public. They were painful. They were devastating. Psalm 51 records the prayer of a broken man. He doesn't defend himself. There are no excuses. He doesn't minimize his own wrongdoing. Instead, he throws himself upon God's mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God. Perhaps no disciple has given us greater comfort than Peter. Peter loved the Lord. He sincerely never intended to deny him. And yet within hours, he had denied Christ three times. Can we imagine Peter's shame? Every time the rooster crowed, he would remember. Every time he looked at the cross, he would remember. Yet after the resurrection, Jesus sought Peter out, not to humiliate him, but to restore him. Three questions. Lovest thou me? Three opportunities to reaffirm his love and devotion. What a lovely example of grace. Jesus didn't pretend that Peter hadn't failed, but neither did Peter's failure become the end of his discipleship. And that gives hope to all of us. Jesus came calling sinners. He healed the broken. He welcomed the outcast. He forgave those who came in faith. The bread reminds us that his body was given. The wine reminds us that his blood was shed. Not because mankind was righteous, but because mankind needed redemption. One of the greatest encouragements in Scripture is seeing how patient God has always been with his servants. Think about Israel. Again and again they failed, yet God continued working with them. Think about Elijah. After great courage came great disappointment. God didn't abandon him. He strengthened him. Think about Jonah. God patiently taught him. Again and again, Scripture reveals a Father who is patient beyond anything we deserve. But this patience shouldn't make us careless. Instead, it should make us grateful that the goodness of God can lead us to repentance. Perhaps one reason we become discouraged is because we expect instant maturity and growth after our baptism. But spiritual life is a journey. When a child learns to walk, they fall over repeatedly. But the parent doesn't reject the child. They encourage the next step. Likewise, our Heavenly Father is developing a Christ-like character in us over our lifetime. There are victories, there are setbacks, there's growth. Until Jesus returns, we continue learning. The important question isn't, have I become perfect? The question is, am I still following Christ? Am I still looking and moving forward? Not getting caught up in the past. One day, our struggles will end. One day, our faith will become sight. One day, our sinful nature will be removed forever. One day, we shall stand before our Lord, not because we earned a place in the kingdom, but because God has fulfilled his promise through his Son. That hope changes everything. We continue striving. We continue repenting. We continue growing. The emblems are not for those who think they've already succeeded. They are for us who know that we need Christ every single day. So if today we are painfully aware of our own weakness, let's bring that weakness to the table. Let's bring our repentance, our gratitude, our desire to do better, our trust in God's promises. Coming here each Sunday has never been about celebrating our own goodness. It has always been about remembering God's goodness shown through his Son. So let's leave today encouraged. Not because we're good enough, but because God has called us in his mercy. Because Christ has gone before us in perfect obedience. Because God is patient, he's compassionate, and he's faithful. And because if we continue walking in faith, however imperfectly, he has, through his grace, promised us a place in his coming kingdom. So, brethren and sisters, may that hope strengthen us this week as we look to the emblems and as we remember Jesus, the one who had no inadequacies.